All right. Brother Michael, we'll get my wireless mic going here and we'll get cranked up and ready. If you will be turning your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2.
Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, if you're just now getting here this morning and on this study, you missed last Sunday night when we began this study on biblical wines. And we are covering every controversial verse, everything in the Word of God that has to do with biblical wines. And let me just say expressively right off the bat is that God does not want you participating with alcoholic wine. You say, even just in a moderate sense, no. God does not want you touching it. The Bible says He doesn't want you looking at it when it's turned fermented, okay? You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, get last week's study and get today's study and tonight's study and listen to it all as a compilation, okay? It's not my opinion. We're going through the Word of God and we're showing you directly from the Word of God what it says about alcoholic wine. You say, why do you hate alcoholic wine so much, Brother Jeff? Well, not only does the Bible teach against it, but I've lost two precious friends due to alcoholism and due to sin. And you say, well, they overdrank, Brother Jeff. Yeah, but it started with one drink. And I just talked to my best friend's wife this past week that got his toxicology report back, and one drink killed my best friend. You say, how? Because he was on a new medication, and that alcohol, which acts as a poison in your body, reacted with the prescription medicine he was on and killed him, stopped his heart.
That's right.
Alcohol is a sin, and it's wicked, amen, and I hate it. Hate every bit of it. I wish they'd shut down every alcohol distillery in America. You say, well, that you shouldn't be like that, Bro Jeff. Well, hey, if Christians had stopped drinking it, they might go out of business, amen. Amen. Well, our bishops are going, hey, I think I want that guy that preached till 12:30 last week back. All right, if you would please stand in honor of God's Word, Habakkuk 2:5-12. Says, yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long, and to him that ladeth himself with thick clay? Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booty unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations. All the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, and the city, and of all that dwell therein. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may be set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. And I want you to just merge in on verse 12. Woe to him that buildeth the town with blood, and establish a city by iniquity. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this day, God. I thank you for everything you've given us. Father, I thank you for this service. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ on this service. Help me to say nothing in the flesh, but everything in the Spirit. Bind the hands of demonic forces this morning. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, I began with these verses is because we've become a proud society. We see up there that in verse 5, it talks about wine, starts out with wine, and it says that he is a proud man. It says there that they don't keep their house. They don't keep their house. Listen, we got our homes that are being destroyed by the sin of alcohol.
Amen.
Men and women that won't take care of their kids, won't take care of their grandkids, amen,
right,
are allowing the government to take care of them, are allowing everybody else to take care of them, but they're in their sin of alcoholism, amen.
Amen.
It says there that his desire is compared to hell, cannot be satisfied. It says that he won't stop with just a few, that he'll bring down many with alcohol. God says the nation that takes a stand with alcohol will be spoiled and have violence in the land. It says that in that verse. It says that they're going to have violence in the land of the city and that all that dwell therein. And we'll give some statistics tonight about how much violence, how much murder, how much rape, how much moralism that or immoralism, how much of that is caused by alcohol, amen? And it'll be staggering. You know, verse 12 is the one I wanted you to hone in on there. It says, woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity. Listen, our government is getting rich. Our cities are getting rich. Over and over we see all these ordinances about, hey, we want to sell alcohol this, we want to sell alcohol that. It used to be, you know, we didn't sell alcohol on Sunday. Now everybody's wanting to sell it on Sunday. Why? Because they can get that revenue. They want to build a city on iniquity, amen.
That's right.
They want to build a city on iniquity. You know, I find it hilarious that that we have had this onslaught and we've had this attack on smoking cigarettes. Have you noticed that? I mean, they even changed the NASCAR, took away the Winston Cup, and changed it, and they're saying, hey, you can't do this, you can't do that, can't do this here. Listen, folks, I want to tell you something. Alcohol kills more people than cigarettes do.
That's right.
And it kills more innocents than cigarettes do, amen?
Amen.
Why aren't we waging war on alcohol like we are that, amen? You know why? Because of money, amen? That's exactly why we're doing that, amen?
Preach it.
You know, question, why would God tell you that alcohol brings down a nation and then tell Christians it's okay to drink it? You see how ridiculous that is? We covered a lot of this the last lesson, and you need to go back and listen to it if you haven't. But listen, why would God tell us as Christians, go ahead, have a little bit, but by the way, it will destroy a nation. Right?
Right.
Let me tell you something. Don't you think that a little bit of alcohol in the church will destroy the church? Amen?
That's right.
It'll kill it. Amen? Proverbs 23:20 says, be not among wine bibbers, among righteous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Notice it says that a wine bibber is a drunkard. Well, you say, does that mean a wine bibber is somebody that's drunk? No. Let me tell you what it means real quick. A wine bibber is this. A wine bibber is a banqueter, drinking socially at a banquet, a social drinker. He associates a social drinker with somebody that's drunk. You say, well, I'm not drunk. No, wait a minute. Every glass of alcohol you take puts a percentage of alcohol in your body. And you are drunk to that level. Right?
Amen.
Now, you may not be drunk to that you can't walk and that you can't drive and you can't see, but you are drunk to the level that you take in, the percentage that you take in. Amen. They accused Jesus of being a wine bibber, of drinking socially. It says in Matthew 11:19, it says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber. It says the same thing in Luke 7:34. They knew that Jesus didn't drink alcohol. But you know what they're going to do? They're going to cast lies at him. They're going to cast lies at him. Why? Because they hate him that much, amen. They hated him, amen. Now, God tells us not to be even around the wine bibber or the social drinker. Luke 7:34 says, the Son of Man come in and say, behold, gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. If you read through Scripture, you'll find over and over it tells you not to be around wine. It says, don't look. We covered this verse last week. Don't even look upon the wine when it stirs itself aright in the cup. That means when it's fermented, don't even look at it. You know, there's some Christians that think, oh, well, as long as I drink it like this, I'm good, right? We talked about that last week. No, if he doesn't want you looking at it, he doesn't want you drinking it, amen?
Amen.
Doesn't want you drinking it at all. Let me give you a definition from the Webster 1828 Dictionary. Now, remember, we talked about this last week. You don't want to go to a modern dictionary and look up liquor and wine. Why? Because it's not defined that way in the Elizabethan English. You got to go back to a dictionary that defines the archaic English to know what they were talking about. Here's the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. It says, states a bibber is a tippler. A tippler can refer to a sot or a drunkard. It, however, signifies often, a person who habitually drinks strong liquors without absolute drunkenness. He just told you that is a social drinker. God does not want Christians drinking socially, amen, period. Lamentations 4:21 says, rejoice and be glad, O daughters of Edom, that dwelleth in the land of Uz. The cup also shall pass through unto thee. Thou shalt be drunken and shall make thyself naked. The Bible states that alcohol causes people to lose their clothing. It does. Amen.
That's right.
Right? Hey, listen, Ben, when you were in sin, where did you go to try to find a woman, a loose woman? You didn't go to church, did you?
That's right.
Right? You didn't go to church and say, hey, I'm looking for a good time. Hey, she looks like a good... No! You went out to the bar.
That's right.
But you wanted to find that girl that had a few drinks and didn't mind losing a few clothes, right? It's sin, brother. That's what it leads to.
Right.
It's sin, ain't it? You know why? Because you lose all your shame and your bashfulness.
Right.
Isn't that what happens? You come home and say, oh, I need to unwind. I need a beer. I need a glass of wine. Why? Because you say it soothes you. It numbs you is what it does. It numbs you, right? And it's sin, amen? Isaiah 5:11 says, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, and they that may follow strong drink, that continue until night to wine and flame them. And the harp, and the vial, and the tabret, and the pipe, and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. You know what that tells me? A few things real quick. First of all, it says that people who become alcoholics or start with drink, they'll start in the morning and drinking, they'll go until it becomes night. It becomes a habit. Starts out with just one drink at night, then it's two drinks at night, then you're drunk at night, then in the morning when you wake up, you got to have some more, and on the cycle goes. Notice also that demonic music follows alcohol wherever it is found. It doesn't matter, wherever you go, if they serve alcohol, you hear strong music, right? Blaring in the background. Right. Even if you go to a restaurant and they've got alcohol in there, you'll hear the rock music or the country music, right? Yeah. In the background. I've said that many times, you know, about the back masking. They said, well, what do? When you play country music backwards? You get your dog back, your wife back, you get right.
That's right.
Get all that back, amen. But the demonic music is always there. People enslaved by alcohol do not seek the Lord. They seek drink. And hey, Satan loves that. Satan would love for you to just come home and say, I'd rather have a beer than sit down and read my Bible. That's amen.
Right. That's right.
He'd love that. It says his people are enslaved. They have no knowledge. That's exactly where we all day. You ask the average Christian, is it okay to drink? They say, oh yeah, as long as it's in moderation. That's somebody that has no knowledge, has not read the Word of God, and has not studied what God says about drinking.
Amen, amen, brother.
Nothing. It says the honorable men are absent. They're gone. People will lie to you to your face today. There's no honorableness in business much anymore. Nothing. You know, we ordered Colton a drum for his surprise birthday party that was going to be on Saturday. Ordered it on Monday. It was in on the 9th. Supposed to be in on the 9th. We ordered it from a company online, well-reputable company. They said, Mr. Brown, we shipped it out Monday. You'll have it by Wednesday or Thursday. Well, I checked online Wednesday, and it showed it hadn't shipped. So I called them back and said, hey, guys. Says it hadn't shipped. They said, oh, Mr. Brown, we overlooked it. We got the drum. We'll send it 2 days. We'll upcharge you 2 days and get it there by Friday. Great. Friday comes. Look online. Hasn't shipped. I call him back Friday. Guys, his birthday's tomorrow. Oh, Mr. Brown, I don't know how we overlooked this twice, but we've done it twice. Hey, we'll ship it out. We got the drum in hand. Here it is. We'll ship it out overnight and upcharge you for free. Saturday, guess what happened? No drum. Online, call them back, and I finally get an honest person that says, Mr. Brown, this drum hadn't even come in yet. They lied to me all week. Same thing happened with my insurance company. Told me they mailed me a check. Hey, on week, and then we get the end of the week. Well, they hadn't mailed that yet. Well, so-and-so told me it went out Monday. So-and-so, and I'm naming the people I talked to, so-and-so said it went out Wednesday. I don't know why they told you that, Mr. Brown. We still hadn't mailed you that check. Wow. Honorable men are gone. And women, amen. They're gone. People just lie to you now. They just lie to you. Notice it says they dried up thirst. They got plenty of alcohol, but they have a thirst for the Word of God. Amos 8:11 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You go into the average Baptist church today, you don't hear the Word of God. Yeah, you got all the swaying, all the jumping, all the emotion, all the woo, having a good time, right? But the Word of God is not taught or preached.
Amen.
There's no truth.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing there, amen. Nothing. I witnessed to a man on the street one time. And he was drunk, and he wanted something to eat. So I took him into a Denny's, I think it was, and I paid for him something to eat. But he was quoting me scripture the whole time. The whole time. The whole time we're walking in while I'm there with him, quoting me scripture. It's all out of context, of course. But here's a man that's drunk, but he has no knowledge. No knowledge of what those scriptures mean, amen. Nothing. Deuteronomy 32:33 says, their wine is as the poison of dragons. You need to keep in mind, and like we said last week, the Bible, and if you go back and read, we read several sources that said most of the Bible, or most of the wine during Bible times was not fermented. But that was fermented was only 4 to 5% alcohol. 4 to 5. Now you can get 50% proof, 100 proof, which is 50% alcohol. The alcohol in wine is much higher content now than it was then.
Right.
Much higher content. You're ingesting a lot more. Amen. But I got this from a book, and you can Google this. There were tons out there. I just got this from one called Buzz, The Science and Lore of Alcohol. says your body sees alcohol as a poison, or at least as something it doesn't actually want inside of it. To fight back and sober you up, humans produce an enzyme called alcohol dehydrogenase. The enzyme gets its shot at your alcohol when it attempts to pass through the stomach lining and when it reaches your liver primarily. On contact, it snatches a hydrogen atom off the ethanol molecules in your drink. And I could go on and on, but basically it creates this aldehyde and it's a poison. And it's like it's fighting a poison as if you ingested poison. You know why? Because you're ingesting poison.
That's right. Amen.
God set up your body to where it would fight when you ingest poison. So if your body's fighting poison every time you take a drink, guess what? It's poison.
Right.
God did not intend for you to have that. Amen. He gives you a natural defense against that. Amen. Now here's another point. The children of Israel in the wilderness, they were there 40 years in the wilderness. Now, if God wanted anybody to have alcohol, wouldn't He let them have it? Right?
That's right.
Right? Deuteronomy 29:5 says, "And I have led you," God led them, 40 years in the wilderness. "Your clothes are not waxing old upon you. Thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God." How are you going to know the Lord your God when you're ingesting alcohol all the time? Deuteronomy 32:14 says that they had the pure blood of the grape. They had grape juice when they were leading them, but no alcohol. Who's leading you? Because I tell you, if the Lord's leading you, He's not leading you to a beer, and He's not leading you to alcohol, and He's not leading you to a shot of Jack Daniels, okay?
Amen.
He's not leading you there, amen? He's not leading you there. I'll break right there. I got to share this story with you. It's in my sermon, but it's not. But we were on a senior trip many years ago. Me and, you know, Martha Guffey, she's in a rest home now, and we love her. But we were all going through there, and we were reading off signs as we were going down. Everybody's talking about how hungry they are. And one of the seniors in the back said, "Oh, Hardee's." We're all excited about it. And then somebody says, "Oh, McDonald's." And then I hear Miss Guffey behind me go, "Jack Daniels." I never let her forget that either. You know, here's a question for you. Would anyone think that alcohol brings God glory? I mean, honestly, everything we do as a Christian should bring God glory, right?
That's right.
So John 2:11 about the turning the water into wine, and we showed last week, and get it and listen to it. I don't have time to go through all of it again, but we showed how Jesus did not turn it into alcohol. He didn't turn it into hooch, amen. He didn't do that, and we showed that very clearly.
Right.
But John 2:11 says, "The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana," talking about the water into wine, "in Galilee, and manifested forth His glory." He manifested His glory by that. Now listen, folks, I want you to think about how stupid that would be. If He turned that into alcohol, how would that manifest His glory? Gets all them drunk, and they're all over there puking. You're patting them on the back, you're throwing up, you're going, "Glory to God," right? That's ignorant, folks, to think that gives God the glory. Amen.
Bring it, Pastor.
Here's another one that they say. 1 Timothy 4:4. "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." I've had people tell me, "Well, hey, as long as you thank the Lord for the alcohol, it's good." Because it's a creature. No, listen. First of all, this is speaking of a creature, a food, a chicken, a calf, a goat, whatever it is, right? Meat, not drink. Second of all, God did not make alcohol. Boy, got quiet there.
That's right.
It's a man-made invention.
Amen.
Man-made. What does God think about man-made inventions? Well, let me tell you. Psalm 99:8 says, "Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them. Thou that tookest vengeance of their inventions." Psalm 106:29 says, "Thus they provoked Him to anger with their inventions." Psalm 106:39 says, "And went a-whoring with their inventions." And Ecclesiastes 7:29 says that they have sought out many inventions. It sounds like to me that God does not have a high regard for man's inventions. Amen?
That's right.
And I want to tell you, He hates drugs and He hates alcohol.
Right.
Because it destroys homes, lives, and people. Amen?
Amen.
Period.
That's right.
Ecclesiastes 2:3 says, "I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart," this is Solomon talking, "yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom." He said, "I'm going to try wine. I'm going to try it." He said, "I'm going to test it, see what it's like." And then look at what he says in verse 11. "All was vanity and vexation of spirit." In verse 11, Solomon states there's no profit in drinking alcohol. He says it's all vanity. He says, "I tried it, and it's stupid." It's a waste of my time. Amen.
That's right.
He said that. You know, in the works of the flesh in Galatians 5:19-21, that drunkenness is listed there? You said, well, that's drunkenness. Galatians chapter 5 lists the works of the flesh. You said, that's drunkenness, Brother Jeff. That's not drinking in moderation. But we've already shown you in Scripture where a wine bibber, a social drinker, is considered a drunkard in God's eyes.
Right. Yeah.
See, we always wanted to find God by man, right?
That's it.
We wanted to find God by man. We want to say, well, the legal limit is such and such, and that's a drunkard. Well, that's not the way God defines drunkenness.
Amen.
That's not the way He does it, right?
That's right.
And by the way, God doesn't define gay as the way we define it today either, right?
That's right.
Gay is happy, amen? And let me just stop right there because I'm going to re-upset you on it. But let me say this. God did not intend His rainbow, amen?
That's right, amen.
To represent a reprobate lifestyle.
Bring it, Pastor, bring it. Yes.
No. So things have changed. You got to go by this, amen. Because the Lord doesn't change, amen. Brother Brewer, you can get a song ready, brother. With every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone standing, if you're able. We'll finish this up tonight. And we'll give you some statistics tonight as well on alcohol and how it's destroying our nation. And these are statistics that you can get online at any time. Maybe you're here today and you say, Brother Jeff,